opinions of Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gal Media station.
Loose! Kensmill's got it! They've got a timeout. They don't use it! Bane! Yes! The Lumberjacks have done it! The Lumberjacks apparently have done it! They'll look a little longer, but this is going to be the biggest win in program history!
Pulls up, 15-foot jumper. Off the rim, no good. Rebounded backside, loose. Picked up by Duke. They can hold for the final shot. 14 seconds left. Jones again between the circles. They'll start him again down the right side. Bounce it down low, knocked away by Ware. It's loose. Gavin Kinsmill comes up with it. Here's Bane on the other end. Bane on the breakaway. Bane on the dunk and the buzzer. Lumberjacks win! The Jacks have just beaten Duke at the buzzer. 85-83. SFA has knocked off the number one team in the country.
Sports.
So they just sit there and talk about sports?
Well, that was supposed to be a slow sports night, and that wasn't even the best thing I've seen in the last 24 hours. Let's do this. It's a What Are the Odds Wednesday on the Blitz.
Shall we begin?
Live from the Gow Studios in Houston, Texas. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And The Blitz is on for Wednesday. Welcome to the greatest show in the history of the known universe with me, Fred Fowler, the Falcon, A.J. Hoffman, Chocolate Braveheart, Aaron Rabel, the Voldemort. You want to get in today, 713-780-ESPN's your number, 713-780-3776. You can also hit us up on the Blitz Facebook page, find the Blitz, click like, send a message. If he likes it, Aaron will read it, and it gives him a chance to participate in the show, so you'll be doing him a solid if you like him. If you don't worry about it. There's also Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at AJ is the real, at Aaron is Blitz, at Degenerates 975. You can text the show, you know the number for that, and if you want to watch us on the Twitch channel and comment there, feel free. Just know that when you text, tweet, Twitch, whatever you do, put odds on it. What are the odds? That was a fun finish last night, Mr. Hoffman.
Pretty cool, man. Yeah, I've flipped over, I guess, maybe 10 minutes left in the game.
Hey, so you beat me by 2 minutes. I had a friend who went to SFA who texted me with 8 minutes left, and he says, this, you know, pretty cool where they are right now. And I'm like, oh, well, you know how it is, 28-point favorites and 8 minutes left. But I flipped over and started watching it. And I kept thinking, well, Duke's going to pull away.
I was busy watching Cal blow their gigantic lead with like a million turnovers.
Was that like a negative?
That's usually not good. It's not good to have a million turnovers in a game.
I was watching Law & Order SVU reruns. And then once I got the text, I flipped over. Now, it was hard finding that game. It was on like 677 or something. It was Fox Sports, Southeast, West, North. I don't know which one. But I did find it, and man, that was fun to watch. And what a great finish. And good job, SFA. Plus 8,000.
That's strong.
I can't think of a bigger number than that. Now, I don't know what Leicester City was when they won the Premier League, but I don't think it was plus 8,000.
Yeah, I have no idea.
And I never would have put any money on that.
No.
But yeah, but it was good for them. Congratulations to all my SFA friends.
And it's so weird because they just got thumped by Rutgers.
Yeah.
Rutgers is no longer like the very bottom of the Big Ten, but they're still pretty close to the bottom of the Big Ten. So how do you get thumped by Rutgers and then show up at Cameron and win outright? I mean, it's just wild.
And they couldn't miss down the stretch.
Yeah.
I mean, they kept coming up with play after play. And I think my favorite part was the coach afterward. I think that dude was so stoned. Because they're asking him, "Oh, is this how big is this?" Oh, it's a good win for our program. And I'm like, really? You can't be a little more excited than that when you go in and beat Duke.
What I will say is that dude is nobody makes his guys work harder than that dude. He is a grinder. So I'm I think he's kind of like an all business guy. So
Also said on Freddie and Fitzsimmons later in the night, and I've got the audio, that his original reaction was he felt bad for Coach K because Duke didn't have to take that game, and Coach K thought it was just going to be an easy tune-up thing, and all of a sudden they lost.
Well, I mean, Listen.
Okay. Right. I don't really feel bad when we win.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know about Duke looking at it like an easy tune-up game. I mean, did Coach K have to take it? No, but I mean, Coach K takes games like that all the time. Coach K is playing Michigan State non-conference, played Kansas the opening game of the season. He didn't have to take those games, and he did.
Right, so, right.
I don't think...
Well, maybe when you take those games, you're thinking, okay, these are games that we can measure ourselves with. You're not thinking SFA is going to be a measurement game, no offense.
No.
But here's some interesting...
And they play Winthrop, what is it, tomorrow?
Yeah.
Or 2 days from now, and Winthrop's a pretty good, good program.
They're no pushover.
So. Yeah, I mean, Coach K knows what he's doing.
So here's some interesting stats for you. Duke hasn't lost to a non-conference opponent at home since 2000.
What?
Non-conference opponent at home.
Wow.
Against non-power conference teams, which I think is a little misleading. You go back to 1983 when Wagner beat them.
Jeez, man. I mean, it's an impressive win,
and
for
And basically it came down to free throws because what's interesting is Duke shot 40 of them. SFA shot 17, and they still won the game. So, and they were 85-1 underdogs.
Well, there you go.
Leicester City was 5,000-1.
Okay, so this is a bigger upset than that. Yeah, I thought it was either 7,000 or 5,000. I knew it was a bunch. I knew we'd have soccer people who could tell me.
But that's according to Trey.
Well, I
also Googled it to make sure, but he was the one who gave me the information first.
See, I kind of believe Trey on that. I know he's not the soccer person that he is NASCAR, but he's pretty good. So I trust him on things like that.
Dating
advice? No. No, don't trust him at all.
Well, like I said, I didn't watch the whole game, but after, you know, watching the last 10 minutes in overtime and then digging into the box score, I mean, Trey Jones didn't play all that well, particularly handling the ball. 8 turnovers is a lot. And as a team, SFA 14 turnovers, Duke 22, you know, and like you said, the free throw disparity, that quickly gets wiped out.
Yeah.
You know, when one team has 8 more turnovers, and maybe even
just
more shockingly,
look at Duke's numbers, man. It's like it's hard to figure out how they lost.
Well,
the turnovers is it, but they out rebounded them. They shot 50% from the field. They shot 33% on threes.
They didn't out rebound them by an obnoxious amount.
That was 7, either. I think.
Yeah, I mean, that's SFA did fine on the boards, and I mean, physically, you're probably not gonna ever out rebound that team if you're SFA because they just have better bodies. They've got better athletes, but you know, they didn't go away, and I really think when you look at it, that's the only thing you can point to and go, well, that's what really did it for them was the turnovers.
Yeah.
Because statistically, like you said, every other spot they got beat.
Bernardo says biggest upset: Evansville over Kentucky or SFA over Duke. I think numbers wise, it's this one. I don't know what Evansville was, but I don't think they were plus 8,000.
I don't even know. I'm not sure, but I know SFA is a more respected program. How about that?
I mean, at least certainly from that perspective.
Now, Evansville plays in the Missouri Valley Conference, which is a way better conference than what SFA plays in. But they're also, I mean, the Valley's like, you know, Valpo, Loyola Chicago, right, Missouri State. I mean, there's a bunch of good programs there. Drake. Bradley's pretty good, but you didn't expect them to even do much in that conference. SFA, I would assume, was probably preseason favorite to win.
Well, they were 28-point dogs, I think, and I could be wrong about this. Evansville was a 25-point dog at Kentucky. I remember that because you mentioned it on the show for some reason about when it was halftime, and Evansville was ahead. You're like, they were 25-point dogs. So
there you go.
So if I remember that rightly, but I'm old.
Yeah, Evansville was picked 8th out of 10 in the Missouri Valley Conference.
Good luck with that.
And so, that's not always gospel, but it kind of gives you an idea of who's expected to be good. And I was wrong. New Orleans was picked to win the Southland. Stephen F. Austin was picked 4th.
Okay, well, there you have it. All right, 713-780-ESPN. It is a What Are the Odds Wednesday. A couple things we didn't get to yesterday. A texter had sent something in, and I had it on the thing, and then I don't know if we started arguing about Utah or whatever and never got to it. But he said some idiot ran a red light and it put his girlfriend in the hospital, and so the show had kept him sane for the last week while she's in there. And she's out now, so congratulations.
Nice.
And then we didn't talk about the UFC. We teased it, and we never got
We did never get to it. You're right.
So I definitely want to get to that today. And if it's okay with you, I would like to do a non-spoiler review of something when we come back that was, even for me, even better than watching SFA Duke last night.
Okay.
All right. Don't go anywhere. It's The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
Is just around the corner, and with it, the three F's: football, food, and those f***ers that come over and eat all your food,
also known as your family.
How about a little more turkey?
Happy Thanksgiving from ESPN 97.5.
Listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5
and on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. Happy What Are the Odds Wednesday. Happy day before Thanksgiving. Hope everybody has a great one. Bleed Blue asks, Fred, what are the chances you instruct everyone on the proper way to wear a hat? I don't know if there's a proper way. My way is just cover up as much of my face as possible because, you know, I'm a hideous beast. But, you know, for me, that works. And once my hair grows out longer, I'll use my hair instead. Anything that, you know, I can cover my face with. And then Howard asks, what are the odds a fight breaks out with one of you guys' Thanksgiving dinner? 0%. I do a very short time with my family, so there's not really any time to fight. And because I'm going down for lunch, and then I got to get back because we have some other stuff we do. So no chance.
Yeah, I do pretty all right with with family. Most everybody in my family gets along, and if we don't, we just don't talk that much. It's fine. It's like every other normal family.
And then somebody asked, what are the odds that Garrett gets fired if they lose to the Bills? I actually think it's pretty good that Garrett gets fired if they lose this game tomorrow. And I'm not going to be shocked if they do. But, you know, it's funny, and I went in the article I talked about yesterday, it's on the website, where I broke down, and we'll go over it later, but I broke down how long, if you're at a certain team, if you don't get to a certain level, you're never getting to a Super Bowl. Jason Garrett's way past that.
Yeah.
So, and so is Bill O'Brien, for that matter. So I want to praise something real quick, which I'm not a big praiser. I'm more of a critic. I think I'm cynical. I think you could say that's fair. And I'm going to preface this by saying I love mob movies. I love everything about the mafia, whether it's fiction, nonfiction. I can't consume enough of it. I'm pretty much a fanatic about it.
Okay.
So, and I've even... You know, I even made the mafia a big part of my novel. So I love mafia stuff. And I also have loved a lot of Scorsese stuff. I went to the Irishman, which I watched this afternoon. I got all my work done, and then I had 3.5 hours to kill. It is 3.5 hours long.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. And I decided, okay, I'm going to go ahead and watch this. I had low expectations because as much as I love De Niro and Pesci and Pacino, none of those guys have done anything worth a damn in 20 years. And don't throw, he was good, Joe Paterno. All he did was sit there and mumble as an old man. Now, that was nothing. That was not great acting. But watching this thing today, I have several thoughts. First off, Were you a fan of Unforgiven?
Well, weren't some of those guys did The Departed, right?
Yeah, but The Departed to me is not one of his best movies. And as
Ooh,
much
I
as
I like that movie,
I don't like Irish Mob. I don't like Boston. So you add those two things in there okay. for the whole thing. It doesn't.
I didn't know you were racist about your mob.
I kind of am. I'm about the Italian mob.
Oh, okay. Well,
so there.
That's awkward.
Well, not really. But that's to me, that's what the mafia is. It's not a not a bunch of Irish guys. Even though the title's The Irishman, that's a little misleading too. But the thing about this movie that I love, were you a fan of Unforgiven with Clint Eastwood?
Yes.
Don't you kind of love the way that that sort of tied up his entire career from his spaghetti westerns?
Yeah.
And it kind of took away the glamour of those shows. And
yes.
This does that for the mafia. This is the Unforgiven of mafia movies. In that it ties everything together beautifully.
So it's good.
It's fantastic.
Oh,
and the three actors who I had given up on, they are terrific. De Niro is one of his better performances. And it's his best in years, but it's one of his better performances overall. Pacino as Hoffa, it takes you a few minutes to recognize Pacino as Hoffa. He's that good. And Pesci's character is very un-Pesci-like. He's one of those... he's almost like Meyer Lansky. He's calculating and quiet and cold, and he's terrific. And the writing is great. The storyline is great. The way they kind of take you through there's some really key points of history. Now, for me, I'm more interested than most because there were events that shaped my childhood. I wasn't alive for the Kennedy assassination, but
you weren't?
No. It was like a year and a half before I was born, or a year before I was born. But that was, we grew up with the shadow of that. That was all anybody talked about. The Cuban Missile Crisis, the Bay of Pigs, all those things. And it kind of takes you through, it's very Forrest Gump-like in that it takes you through all these things that actually happened and shows you what the mafia involvement was. And I was not familiar with the main character's story. I intentionally stayed away from it because I wanted to watch the movie. I am buying the book as soon as I get home tonight, and I'm going to read it because I don't know that everything in there that he claims that he did is true, but it sure makes for a great movie.
Well, I'm with you. I haven't seen any. I don't know where Al Pacino is. I didn't know he was still actively acting. So that surprised me. De Niro, he's done a few good things in recent years. He hasn't been as...
Like what? Fockers?
No, he did that Silver Linings Playbook, which he was really good in.
Yeah, but he wasn't the main character. That was Bradley Cooper and what's-her-face.
And then he did the Bernie Madoff movie, which was that was really good. That was on HBO, but it was still
a really good show. It was solid.
I mean, he's at least been around. He did the...
But he hasn't done anything where you'd say, oh, this deserves Academy Award consideration.
I mean, I think he did get Academy Award consideration for the Silver Linings movie.
Maybe he did for Best Supporting Actor.
Yeah.
But I didn't think his role was that big in there, but maybe so.
I mean,
but the other two.
At least he's acting.
Yeah.
Pesci and Pacino, like, where have they been?
Well, we said Pacino did Paterno.
Yeah.
And I don't know what Pesci's been doing, but it gives you some different timelines. I thought it was fantastic. I don't know where I would rate it among Scorsese movies, but I need to see it again, but I want to see it again. And that was after 3.5 hours. The one thing...
That would be the toughest list to put together, rank Scorsese movies.
Well, I mean, what, Taxi Driver and just ranking Goodfellas and Casino and Raging Bull. I mean,
yeah, like,
but
I'm
going to tell you, this one is in that conversation. I mean, I would probably make Taxi Driver 1, Raging Bull 2, Goodfellas 3. After that, I don't know that I know of a better one that he did than this, and that's including Casino.
Better than Gangs of New York?
Yeah.
I love that movie.
Yeah, well, I love that movie too. So but what's interesting to me, there's two things that really stood out. In Goodfellas and Casino in particular, the way they use the music as a background was almost like another actor. It was fantastic. This, they don't do that at all. They really just rely on the acting, and it works. The other thing, the editor in me could have gotten 35 minutes out of it, but... I'm not going to quibble because if I'm going to commit 2 hours and 55 minutes, I might as well commit 3.5, yeah. Right? And this, I think some people will view as a negative, but in this era where we have all these female heroes and movies that are focused on female characters, This is old school, man. And maybe it's misogynistic, but this is old school mafia, and there's really not an important female character. It focuses on those three guys. So I'm sure there'll be some criticism of that. But for this movie, it really works. And if this thing doesn't just crush the awards, I will be surprised. Because, you know, Scorsese's got a great reputation. But it's one of the better things I've seen in a long time. And I couldn't stop watching, even though watching the entire 3 hours and 30 minutes was going to put me close to being late today.
So this is a man's movie.
It is. Definitely a man's movie.
Okay.
So, you know, and again, I'm not a woman, so I can't really tell you how females would react to it. But as a dude who loves mafia movies, who loved all that stuff, that, you know, loved Goodfellas, loved and Casino, and liked Departed, it's almost like a fantasy movie for me. So,
well, I'm looking forward to it now. I thought you were going to come in here and ruin it for me.
No, no, like, that no, was a
I didn't
total...
like it. And I was like, oh, man, because I was excited about it. No, you did kind of ruin it by telling me it's 3.5 hours.
Well, come on. You're going to see that as soon as you turn on Netflix. It's, yeah. You know, it's got that thing at the bottom. It's 3.5 hours.
Yeah.
So, but anyway, it's called The Irishman, which I don't really like the title, but it's based on a book. I don't think the book title would have gone over well, but it's a better title. It's called I Heard You Paint Houses, which... That doesn't really scream mafia to you, but yeah, you know, now I'm really fascinated with this guy, and I'm going to go read up all the real stuff about him. And it also, my other favorite part of this is it really hammers home the fact that in the mafia, you either die young or you wind up dying in prison, sitting in your own crap. No, and it doesn't, well, no, but it doesn't glamorize it the way that all those other movies did, which is why it kind of has the Unforgiven feel to it.
All right.
So if you like any of those things,
I'm into it.
Then watch The Irishman. I don't think you will be disappointed.
Okay.
At all. All right. Quick break. We come back. I want to talk about the UFC coming back. It's The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. Eugene said I was planning on reading the book, then watching the movie, based on your review, watching it first now. Thanks for the heads up. I haven't read the book yet, but I'm going to now. I mean, that's what I'm going to probably do over the next couple days. And I know that it's 3.5 hours, so a bunch of, I mean, look, we're an ADD society for a lot of people. Are like, oh, this sucks, this drags. You take a couple breaks in during it. You know, I took the dog out a couple times, so you know, there's some spots where you can stop, but I think it's well worth it. And the one other thing I would add is it's kind of, there's some different timeline things, but it reminds me a lot of True Detective last year. It's really clear where they are in the timeline, so you're not confused because it's all a flashback. But it's fantastic, man. I if you like any of that kind of stuff, it's terrific. And somebody said, what are the odds The Irishman wins more awards than Joker? I think this is a game changer for Netflix. I think they're going to win a bunch of Academy Awards with this, and I know that they're trying to take that next step.
Did you ever watch Joker?
I did watch Joker, yeah.
Okay.
Thought it was really good.
Okay.
Not better than this, but really good.
Okay.
Not really crazy about the ending, but
yeah.
I mean, I thought that was a little too cheesy and too easy, and I hate those kind of endings, and that kind of colored it a little bit for me, but I thought the acting was fantastic. But yeah, so there you have it. John Jones fighting here.
Yeah, a pretty good card set up by the UFC, and it's funny, I was talking to Mick Maynard the other day, and this is what kind of sucks. I used to be able to just have Mick Maynard on the show whenever we wanted,
yeah, yeah.
And now I've got to go through all these channels, and the channels were like, we don't usually let our matchmakers do media. I can get you a fighter, so we may end up with with one of these guys on. But yeah, John Jones and Dominic Reyes is going to headline the UFC fight Saturday, February 8th at the Toyota Center. Going to be a pretty good card, I would say. I mean, anytime you've got a John Jones headliner, it's going to be a big deal.
I mean, is he still the biggest star outside of UFC fans in terms of transcending?
No, Conor McGregor is.
Yeah, I guess McGregor, but he's still fighting.
But John Jones is still widely regarded as the best fighter in the world. So is he a bigger star than McGregor? No. Is he a better fighter than McGregor? Yes.
Well, that's pretty much the list, though, right? I mean, who else would you consider transcendent star?
Ronda Rousey was.
But she's not fighting anymore.
No.
Brock Lesnar's not fighting anymore.
That's it. Yeah. That's pretty much the list. But there's another big star on the card, Derek Lewis versus Aleir Latifi. So that'll be a good fight.
First time he's been in the octagon in a while, right?
Yes. And
have you talked to him lately? Is his health good?
Yeah, he's been good. He's been training hard. He's in good shape. Lost a lot of weight. So I think it'll be fun watching him fight. Friend of the show. Been on our show a couple times. Valentina Shevchenko will fight Caitlin Chookagian for the women's flyweight title. Lauren Murphy and Andrea Lee, another friend of the show. Juan the Kraken Adams will be on the card against Justin Taffa, and Mirsad Bektic against Dan Ige. Good card. Tickets are going to go on sale Friday, December 13th. I'm excited for it.
Man, I hope we get to do a show out there again.
Oh, I think we'll be involved. I'll say that.
Good, good. Yeah, and Juan needs a win, so.
Yeah, and obviously that's not the full card. I'm hoping that Alex Morano gets thrown on that thing, too.
That'd be awesome. So it's funny how people complain about a 3.5-hour movie, then binge watch an entire Netflix series without leaving the couch. True, true, but I mean it is a commitment. There's no question. I mean I had to lock down most of the afternoon, so but it's worth it. 713-780-ESPN is your number. 713-780-3776. The other thing we didn't get to is and you mentioned this off air on Monday. The Cowboys-Patriots ratings, 19.5 overnight rating, which... The most watched since 2007. Most watched regular season NFL game on any network.
That's crazy.
2007.
So any Monday night game, any Sunday night game, Thursday night, or Sunday day game.
But is it really surprising? Are there two more polarizing teams in football, really, that have those kind of followings?
Not really.
And so that... how often do they... You get them three times, right? So, I think it's... it doesn't really surprise me. It also kind of gets back to, maybe the NFL is... maybe they're not dying so much, after all, with TV ratings. But it's a shame that many people tuned in to see a crap game. But those two teams... I don't know that there's two teams you could put out there that would top that in the regular season. Because I thought last year when it was Chiefs-Rams, that game when those teams were just killing it, that would do it. It just goes to tell you that people still care about the star and they still care about the cheaters.
Yep.
Alleged cheaters. Brother Bear wants to know, what are the odds a Bear can win a pair of tickets to this badass UFC card? I don't know that we'll have tickets.
I'm sure we will have tickets, but okay. The Bear will have as much of a chance as anybody, I suppose.
Yeah, so you just depends on your dialing skills. If you're really good at dialing, you'll have a chance.
Yeah.
If you suck at it, well,
yeah, what are you
well. Do? Oh, 713-780-ESPN. And Sager was asking, how did it just go to Netflix only, no movie theater? They did release it in like New York and
LA.
And LA and
maybe Chicago.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just
Brandon told me he saw it at River Oaks Theater, that they had it here.
Oh, wow.
For like one show.
It didn't have a massive release.
No, but
I think that's because Netflix paid for it to be that way.
Yeah. And that's the direction they're heading. And I think that's the direction a lot of things are heading. I'm getting now where I'm going to revisit the whole, because I hate the cutting the cord term, because you're not really cutting the cord. You're adding a bunch of different cords.
Right.
But I'm getting to the point now where I've got so many apps that do I really need to keep? And when I can watch almost anything online, do I really need to keep DirecTV? I mean, I think it's...
The problem is at my house, and I've told my wife is she's wanted me to cut the cord for a while, and she's like, we can get all the streaming services, just get rid of the TV. And but what she can't control is AT&T hasn't put fiber internet in my neighborhood yet.
Ooh.
So I keep saying, listen, once we get fiber, I'll consider it. For now, it's a non-starter. I'm not buffering things. Yeah. I'm not going to deal with that.
Yeah, we don't have any real problems with that unless, oddly enough, I'm in the Sports Map content management system, because apparently that takes up a bunch of our internet, and it will mess up if I'm trying to watch something on a stream. So I've learned not to do that anymore. But no, I don't really have that problem. But I also, man, I like stuff like, well, last night when I'm going to go find the Duke SFA game. Well, there it is on TV, and I found it. And plus, I like to binge watch some things. So
I don't know why this is being passed around Twitter. A, I don't know why it matters. Who do you care what pro athletes' political beliefs are?
No.
I don't either, unless they're like crazy.
Well, yeah. I mean, if they're insane, if they're like, well, I believe that all immigrants should be shot when they cross the border. Okay, that's a bit much for me.
And there are some who use their...
Or, hey, I think all college should be free. I hate that, too.
there are some people who use their political beliefs as just straight-up trolling.
Right.
Which is obnoxious, but it's fine. I don't really care who celebrities vote for. It doesn't matter to me. For whatever reason, the internet, Twitter, thinks it's important to let everyone know that, well, not Twitter, the site, but the people on Twitter, that Devlin Hodges is a Trump supporter. And apparently, he deleted a tweet from 2015 or whenever that he was, it was like Donald Trump thumbs up. And it's like, we know who you really are. You know who he really is. He went to Sam. He's from Alabama. His nickname is Duck Hodges because he's a state champion duck caller. You knew who he was before he tweeted anything about who his political leanings are. And it doesn't matter. Who cares about that? It sucks that he had to delete that he likes Trump.
Yeah.
It sucks more that people care that he likes Trump. I don't care.
Can you play?
That's
can
all
you go win some games for the Steelers?
How about that? Can you cover two against the Browns this week? Yeah, yes or no?
Not asking for a lot there. But why? See, that I hate that, because it's one thing if you're out there and he's posting stuff now about how, you know, and going off the rails with stuff. But what, it's from 2015, did you say? Or 16?
15, yeah, 15, 16-ish.
Yeah, and people are going back and finding that.
That's that's what people do.
I know, but people...
As soon as someone gets any level of fame, there's an instant Twitter background check. Did he use a racial slur when he was 14? Did he say anything? Did he make any jokes about violence toward women? Anything like that can get you.
Did he get a picture with blackface?
Yes.
That seems to be the new thing, too.
Yeah. I've lost track of how many offensive jokes I've made. So if I'm ever famous, I'm in trouble.
But why are you going to vilify somebody because he liked Donald Trump? Well, I mean, that's his business. And enough people liked him to get him elected. So if that bothers you, well, sad.
Sad.
Hey, man, f*** that. As Trump would say, sad.
He's the president. He's tremendous.
He's the best.
What other president?
There's good and bad people.
Post pictures of himself on Rocky's body. What president does that? Only me. Only me. Did you see? Someone took the head. I retweeted it. It made me laugh. Trump tweeted out that picture of him on his head on Rocky's body. And someone tweeted a picture of Trump's body on the golf course with Rocky's, like, 1970 something Rocky's head on it. Oh, it was so funny.
St. Patrick, so why must everyone judge people based on their political ideology?
It's because we live in a society where people want to be part of a pack. And they feel stronger in a pack. So
and they don't have to. You don't have to think either, because everything's laid out for you. And so, therefore, you could just say, "Oh well, this is what I believe." And if you don't, you're an idiot.
And if you if you're on Twitter, especially, and you've got, if you spend too much time talking politics on Twitter, you develop either a pro-Trump or an anti-Trump following. if you are enough of an influencer to develop a following because of your political beliefs. So when you say something like that, all your followers support what you're saying. So like, yeah, yeah. It makes people feel good to have people
and then
think what they say is relevant.
But I think to go pick stuff out like that and go after somebody is Bush League.
I do too.
And I mean, what do you expect? He's entitled to believe what he wants.
Let that dude play a football game.
Exactly.
All right. I got to tell you about Allstate siding and windows. It's going to get, I don't know if it's going to stay cold, but it gets cold for like 2 days at a time. That's the Houston winters. You know how it goes. But when it does get cold, you're letting all your energy out your old leaky aluminum windows when you could be saving up to 40% on your electric bills. How, might you ask? Call my friends at Allstate, Allstate Siding and Windows. Their winter special going on now, 30% off all windows, $2,500 for all full siding jobs. They're family owned and operated for over 45 years. Military and senior discounts are available. You want the best rate? Call Allstate. Allstate Siding and Windows, 832-204-1936. That's 832-204-1936, or check them out at allstatesidingandwindows.com. Guys, this is the kind of company you want to do business with. They've been around for over 45 years. You know they're going to be there when you need them. That's allstatesidingandwindows.com.
G'day, mate. This is Sam Windsor of the Houston Sabercats. You're listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. Happy What Are the Odds Wednesday. Happy day before Thanksgiving. Hope everybody's doing well. I know there's a bunch of you out there in traffic because I had to deal with you coming in. And I guess everybody's trying to move around early today. The wife's office was supposed to close at 3, and I think it did, but she's still there. Bleed Blue says, we live in a faceless world where you control a message board and never listen to others' opinions like we did in the past. And that's what it is. And you know, we've talked about this. It's never going to change. And that's why I don't engage with people on Twitter when they start doing that stuff. They come after me once, I'll respond once. If they want to turn it into something more than that, I either just block them or mute the conversation. And asking for a friend. Funny how he cares much about athletes' political views as their ability to play a sport. We're truly screwed as a society. I mean, why do we care? I mean, I guarantee you the people who are doing that are just... honestly, I've been thinking about it's time for another Twitter purge of people I follow. And I'm really thinking that anybody who retweets any political thing on either side is gone.
Out of here.
I'm that close to doing it because, I mean, it's, well, the liberals say this, but look at this. Or, you know, all Trump hatred. And I'm like, yeah, I don't want to hear it. I'm not, you know, if you want to have a reasonable discourse about individual issues one at a time, I'm in. But once you start the you're this or you're this, then I got no respect for you. And maybe it's unfair of me, but I judge you as dumb. Because you spout.
How dare you?
Well, and this goes to all extremists. I think anyone who's an extremist is not very bright. They're just believing what they're being told. And I'm not a fan of it. And maybe that's not fair of me. And if it isn't, then I apologize. Tamara Steelers girl says, completely agree about Devlin Hodges. As a diehard Steelers fan, I don't care what his political beliefs are. Just help us win some games and get into the playoffs. I mean, That's the point. And it does seem like people want to go after the guys who like Trump more than they do anything else. 450? Well done. Bryce asks, have we checked out The Mandalorian on Disney? Great. No. Through three episodes. I'll be honest. I haven't got Disney Plus yet. I'm going to. I had zero interest because it's Star Wars, and I'm so out on Star Wars stuff. But after reading up on it a little bit, it looks like something I'd be into, and a few people have suggested it, so... I will probably check it out. So,
random. Are you okay to talk a little NFL?
Absolutely.
Looks like the Broncos are at a minimum, leaning heavily towards playing Drew Lock this week.
Yeah, I saw that.
So it brings me to ask you this, with the success that, you know, and obviously success is relative, but it looks like the Jags had some early success with Gardner Minshew. You know, Kyle Allen, when he came in for the Panthers, right. It was instantly, they were a little bit better. And obviously it was for a short period. Brandon Allen for the Broncos was another example, came in and won a game, you know. Do you think that there's a sort of a bump you get when you're starting a guy for the first time? Like when you throw a new guy out there, like does the team, are they like, oh man, there's some hope? Or are you thinking, oh, they're going to a third string rookie. This is going to get ugly.
I think because they've got it, I still think it leans toward it's going to get ugly. Just because you've had some guys have a little success right off the bat. I think more often than not, I mean, you threw Luke Falk in there for the Jets and what happened? He was a third string guy.
It's true.
So
he was, I mean, he's a disaster.
Yeah, he was a complete disaster. Yeah. So I do think that what Minshew and what Kyle Allen did, and it was encouraging and it gave you a little bump, but in the end, once teams figure him out. Now, I think with Locke, they have a higher hopes for him long term.
Oh, certainly.
But I'm okay with it. I don't, you know, I don't think it would make me bet them. That's for sure. And frankly, I don't know that Brandon Allen was that awful until he kind of gave him a little bit of a bump. He played well in one game. Yeah. So,
well, and he looked bad last. I mean,
against a really good defense.
That's
at
the
Buffalo.
Thing. The last 2 weeks he played on the road at the Vikings, at the Bills,
and he had him up 23-0.
I mean,
against the Vikings.
Yeah, that's a tough way to lose your gig. But I mean, at this point, there's also the Broncos aren't making the playoffs now.
Yeah.
If they were, you know, if they were, instead of 3-8, they were 5-6.
They'd still be in the race at this point.
They'd still be rolling. You know, they'd still be going with what they've got their best chance to win with now. Maybe they think now's the best time to get Drew Lock some reps. I don't know. But all I know is this offense has been horrible. I mean, they're averaging under 16 points per game. So,
is that bad?
And they've allowed 36 sacks this season.
Is that bad?
It's not good.
How does that compare to the Texans in sacks?
I'd have to look it up. But I mean, as far as sacks per attempt per pass attempt, they are the Broncos are fifth behind Titans, Jets, Dolphins, and Redskins. So that lets you know they ain't very good. But good luck, Drew Lock.
Eh.
And there's a Bosa on the other side.
Yeah, that does not bode well for anybody. Hey, I want to throw. How much time do we have left in this segment? Oh, 2 minutes is fine.
2 minute warning.
Shocker that. Thrillist did the best dive bars in Houston.
Okay.
I've been to a bunch of them.
Yeah, shocker.
I'm curious how many you've been to. They don't have them in order. There's just a list.
I would guess probably none.
Sonny's downtown, which I've been to many times. I know Sonny. That's one of our it's one of our go-tos. Not so UOH.
Nope.
Don't know that one. Alice's Tall Texan in the Heights. Don't know that one. Lola's Depot in Montrose.
Yes.
Okay. Sassafras in Oak Forest.
No.
Poison Girl in Montrose.
Yes.
Lone Star Saloon downtown. Yes. Been there a bunch of times. That's even the one I wrote about in the novel. West Alabama Ice House.
I think I have been there.
Yes. That's a yes for me. PJ's. That's a big yes for me. That's a place I used to go all the time.
No, I haven't been there.
I probably haven't been in 3 years, but Catbirds in Montrose.
No.
D&W, which, yes, that's right down the road from me. I've been there a bunch of times. Big State Bar in the Heights.
No.
Or Big Star Bar, excuse me. That sounds like a place you would go. And Satellite Bar in East End.
No.
I have not been to that one. I guess I'll have to check it out. And then the last one they have on the list, Little Danny Speedo's Go Fly a Kite Lounge. I've been there twice. That place is awesome. as far as dive bars go, that place is awesome. So I like all the ones that are on here that I've been to. I mean, there's some I'll never go
back
to.
You're just a dive bar guy.
Well, I'm not really a dive bar guy. I'm like a neighborhood bar guy. So if it turns out your neighborhood bar is a dive bar, that's kind of up my alley.
Okay.
But Sonny's was always, when we would live downtown, that was always the last stop of the night, and it was never, things never ended well when we went there. That was, I can't tell you how many times I staggered home from that place. All right, we are going to take a very quick break. We come back. I'm going to tell you why Bill O'Brien and Jason Garrett are never going to win a Super Bowl. It's the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
We're taking a break.
Okay. That's cool.